You know, Rob, I think my favorite part of the opening song is the subtle little keyboard in there. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's just kind of hanging out in the background, like doing a little thing.
Yeah.
I love that part. That's my favorite part of the theme song.
Well, we've heard it 60 times, so you pick up little nuances every time you hear it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great way to say we are back with episode 60. Your face says it all.
Back like a bad habit.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, episode 60, we're back. What are we going to talk about today, Rob?
Today we are going to talk about the idea of authenticity.
Okay.
As it relates to brands. A lot of times, you know, when we talk to clients around here, we sort of stress the importance of being authentic.
Yes, true to oneself.
True to oneself.
Yeah.
And being authentic and not trying to be something you're not. Not trying mm-hmm. to be everything to everybody.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
of those good things. So we'll start with a question, and I will ask you, uh-oh. What does authenticity from a brand standpoint mean to you?
Man, that's a tough question. And you're putting me on the hot seat here. Repeat the question again.
Brand authenticity, how do you define that, or what does that mean to you, or, you know, how would you describe that?
I already said being true to yourself. So I think, you know, if you think about that from a corporation perspective, it's what's your unique selling proposition, right? What makes you different from everybody else? And then how do you hold true to that, right? And not necessarily chase the shiny object of opportunity if it's outside your guardrails of what you do, right? It's if you think about building a brand and position and whatnot as a series of concentric circles, right? What do you do really well and who do you do that for? And what is your brand promise? That's kind of in the middle, right? Or towards the middle, right? However you want to draw your little Venn diagrams and whatnot, right? The further out you go, the less resonance you're going to have and the less truthfulness you'll have to whatever your brand purpose is, right? I guess that's how I would sort of somewhat describe it. I mean, I think about an example potentially of McDonald's, right off the bat. McDonald's, like, love them, hate them, whatever. There's a place in the world for McDonald's for fast food, right?
Sure.
And it's fast, and there's a certain level of quality there, right? That has come to be accepted, right?
Yeah.
Good, bad, or indifferent. That's accepted, right? When I go to McDonald's in San Francisco versus when I go to McDonald's in Sarasota,
a cheeseburger is always delicious.
Well,
you know what you're getting.
You know what you're getting
every time.
Right?
Consistency.
So. I don't know, you know, again, I don't know what the brand promise of McDonald's is. I don't know exactly what the position is. We're all familiar with the, I'm loving it, you know, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, you know, the whole deal, right? But if we think about, you know, the McSalad Shaker as a limited time offer that they tried many, many moons ago and kind of always try to position a healthier alternative at McDonald's. Well, we don't go to McDonald's for salads. It's not what we do.
Gross.
You know? Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why there aren't salads on the menu anymore, right? So I think, you know, maybe that's a bad example
it's
of authenticity, but it's you know, again, I understand there's trends, there's health concerns, there's a lot of layers to this conversation. I'm very, very much simplifying this existence, right? But we don't go to McDonald's for healthy food, and we all know that, right? So the further they get away from what they actually do best and the reason why we go there, the less authentic it's going to feel. Like, even if I order a salad at McDonald's, do I really think that salad's going to be healthy? You know what I mean?
No, I think you can think about, if we're talking about food and specifically fast food, as it relates to authenticity of product, you have to think that of a few of the top five, certainly it feels like over time McDonald's was, I don't want to say rudderless, not that it's not that extreme, but yes, explored outside of their
absolutely
drove outside of their lane yeah. the most, right?
Yeah.
Right. Whereas mm-hmm. I think somebody like Burger King kind of knew right away, like,
they just leaned into it.
We're leaning into the Whopper.
Yeah.
And we are going Whopper and King and Whopper and
yeah.
King. And I don't care what iteration, whether it's Crisp and Porter work or whether
yeah.
it's the work they're doing now.
Yeah.
Whopper, we're going 70s type. We're going all nostalgia.
Yeah.
You come here for the best flame grilled burger.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah. Our breakfast sandwich is 3,000 calories. Yeah. Whatever. Who cares?
Well,
that's not, you know.
Let's look at Taco Bell too. Taco Bell tried to expand their breakfast offering.
Yeah, for sure.
And created all these crazy, wacky things, so much so that now they're running the campaign with Pete Davidson where it's,
yeah.
we got a little out of our britches and now we just need crunchy,
yeah.
you know, sausage and
exactly.
cheese and the
exactly.
basics.
But to keep that train rolling, I didn't mean to interrupt, but like mm-hmm. Subway, Yeah. Right. You think about salads at Subway. Kind of makes sense.
Eat right? fresh.
Yeah. I mean, it's a submarine sandwich. I mean, the whole thing is a 6-inch or a foot long. I mean, that's their whole thing, right? But, you know, they were positioned a little bit more on the healthier side, whether they are healthy or not. I don't know what the calorie intake is of a foot long sweet onion chicken teriyaki, which is a delicious sandwich, by the way. But like salads to me, that feels more authentic to Subway. Like, oh, I can order a salad there. Like that makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
Versus McDonald's, for example. Yep. So
agreed.
How do you feel about the question, I guess, of authenticity? What does that mean for you?
Yeah, I think part of it is the product or service that a company is offering and not trying to be too much. Although as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about, you can't be everything to everybody. And Amazon popped in my head. And the idea that, well, we started as an online bookstore now we are literally everything. Yeah. To everybody, like today.
However, with their logo and the A to Z, it does make sense.
It set them up for success.
Yeah, they evolved into that position, which I think is interesting.
There are
always exceptions to
always, the rules. Always. Yeah. But I think that there's that. There's the products and service offering. But then I think there's also, if you think about the brand and the communications from a brand standpoint, you think about look and feel and how is it articulated to people and how is it, you know, assuming you stay in your lane, it's how do you convey that to people and how do you tone of voice and appropriate all of these things. And I think about examples where companies went through, a lot of times they lose their way from a brand standpoint, not from a product or service standpoint. We're going to pick on the Gap for a minute.
Got it.
Okay. Well, Gap has always had Gap clothes.
Yeah.
I need a flannel shirt or I need a pair of khaki pants.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going to the Gap.
Totally.
Well, we can say they lost their way with Yee.
Yeah.
Recently.
A little bit.
As a business decision. But prior to that, before that whole debacle, we're going to redo our logo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And arguably, the logo that they've always had was a very, I don't want to say simple, but simple by design.
Yeah.
Logo mark.
Yeah. It's only three letters.
We got three letters and a
blue box.
A blue box.
Yeah.
But it was conservative. It was clean. But it was iconic. And then they decided somewhere along the way, somebody came in and had to piss on the fire hydrant
and changed
the logo. I think they left it for a week.
Yeah.
And then immediately changed it back.
Yeah.
And in that instance, they didn't. It's not like they added too much to it. They just changed the entire feel of it.
Absolutely.
For me. Yeah. Right. And then if you think about like, okay, so that's an example of a brand losing their authenticity or losing their.
What's interesting is that none of the products changed. It wasn't like,
right. That's what I'm, yeah.
It wasn't like on Friday night, we shut it down, we turn the lights off. And then Monday morning we open up and we have a totally different logo and our product set is totally different. Right. Right? We have a new position. It was just the visual identity that represents the product. Suddenly there was a huge disconnect between that.
Another example that I think of that same sort of idea and some sort of misstep. I love New York.
Oh yeah.
One of the greatest, most iconic.
Fantastic.
Logo marks and just campaigns, just communications pieces in general from a brand standpoint to brand a city. I mean, you think about I Love New York and Virginia's for Lovers, but there's only a few that are really, really iconic, totally. That one being the most iconic.
Absolutely.
And don't get me wrong, I am all about inclusivity and diversity and all of that and promoting New York as that true melting pot of a place where you do have celebrate all these cultures and
absolutely
diversity and everything. But to change that to we love New York City.
Yeah.
And change everything about it.
Yeah. The heart is everything is different.
The typeface is different. The heart is different. Yeah. The letters are different. Like
totally
everything is different.
Yeah.
And while the idea behind it is we can all get behind and support.
Yeah.
That's a misstep.
Yeah,
for me.
I would agree. I haven't really been following that one super closely. I did read a couple articles when it launched, and I remember we had some conversation in the office about why would they, don't fuss with the crust here. Like, the perfection is the perfection. Why are we doing this, you know?
I don't know why you can still do I Love New York, but do a campaign where you include everybody and all the different people and why they love New York and what's so great about it.
Yeah.
So that was a misstep for me. And also, too, it was designed by...
Milton Glaser.
Yeah, who's like,
Yeah, back there with Paul Rand, the whole deal.
Like a rock star.
Yeah, absolutely. The Mossimo, Milton Glaser, Paul Rand, all those guys like just crushing what we see as sort of a classic American design, you know? So it's interesting that both of your... observations are kind of on the design front, on the brand identity front, which I think is interesting, you know? So, I mean, you think about authenticity for brand from a visual perspective, you know, which is cool.
Yeah.
One of the exceptions to the rule that I had thought about outside of visualization is, and you know, and this is why it's a murky water. It's not always, you know, we always joke like, hey, if advertising was a sure thing, there'd be no stock market, right? Because everyone, like... If everything was flawless and perfect, then, well, you know.
I can spend 10 and get
100. Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty
exactly.
easy math, right?
Right, so there is some subjectivity in there. And so because of that, there is always an exception to the rule. And one of the big brands, sort of luxury brands, I always thought that was interesting, that really weathered this change in perception and focus really well is Mercedes-Benz, right? Mercedes was always, you know, tip-top. It's up there with BMW. It's their expensive cars, you know. Well, when they sort of launched the, at least domestically, what's interesting is like, you know, you go over to Europe.
Totally different ballgame.
Yeah, it's totally different ballgame. I'm speaking just domestically. You go over to Europe, everyone's driving, all the taxis are Mercedes.
Yeah.
You know, they're all diesel Mercedes stick shifts, you know, and you're like, whoa, what is going on here? But domestically, Mercedes was always positioned as a, you know, a luxury automobile, right? And so when they expanded to the C-Class, to the discount, you know what I mean? The lesser expense. Oh, my God, I can get a Mercedes-Benz for $30,000. I mean, this was years ago.
Right.
You know? It was, whoa.
Yeah.
Does that water the brand? You know, like there's a reason why Apple never has a sale ever. You know, they'll do a college discount, but they never have a sale on products. You know, so it's like, oh, my God, Mercedes, this luxury brand, you know, now all of a sudden we're making a discount version of a Mercedes that's more acceptable or more affordable, I guess. You know, it's not like there's Tiffany's and then there's Tiffany's Light. You know what I mean? And you go in the jewelry store and like, you know, there's a different approach to that. But I do think, you know, Mercedes handled that really well. It was still, they didn't change the tonality of their advertising. They didn't change, you know, it was just, hey, here's a new line of cars. Still the Mercedes quality. It just, you know, we're a little bit more affordable for the masses, which I thought was interesting. So it's still authentic, but it's definitely a pivot for that brand.
Well, and BMW has a parallel path.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? When they came down to affordability, well, it's still affordable, but it's still the ultimate driving machine.
Absolutely.
Within that particular class or budget,
absolutely.
As it were. But then you think about car examples. Okay, well, for me, a big misstep was Hummer. Remember when, the Hummer comes out, and it's like, oh, look like a tank driving down the road. I mean, well, it's an army vehicle that has been repurposed for the road.
Yeah, and you're talking about the Hummer 1, the very first one.
Yeah. And it was.
Do you remember who got the very first one? Who got the very first like non-military Hummer that was available for purchase?
I don't.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, of course.
Of course, right? makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I'm sure they sent it to him.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, it's great PR or whatever. But yeah, the very first one, very tank-like, not very...
They were badass.
Yeah, it wasn't a domesticated car.
No, it didn't look like a car.
It literally looked
like a military vehicle driving down the road, and that was what was so cool about it.
Yeah, of course.
And they were exclusive, and they didn't sell a ton of them, but when you saw one, you were like, whoa. And I mean, I think they were really expensive and whatever else.
Yeah.
All over the years.
Also, not a lot of bells and whistles. I mean, it's not meant to be a luxury car. It's like a military vehicle.
Right.
You know?
And then over the years, you had the
H1, H2. Yeah.
And,
it's like.
Yeah, like, oh.
It's awful looking on the outside and then has like Cadillac Escalade interior. Like, what? Like,
well,
what
the
is
minute you saw
here?
The soccer mom driving the Hummer down the road, it was like, oh, no, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of knew it wasn't going to work.
Well, there's definitely a lot of flack around one of the cars we have. We have one of the Ford Mustang Mach-Es, right, which is the electric Mustang, and it's a hatchback, right? And there is a tremendous amount of Ford aficionados and Mustang aficionados that are like, what soccer moms drive that? Like, well, that should not be a Mustang. That is not a Mustang. Like, Mustangs are not electric SUVs, you know? So
I would say the same is true with the Bronco. People who love old Broncos.
Yeah.
And Bronco typically was a...
Yeah. Well, Bronco's one where they split it now. We have the Bronco Sport, which is a little bit more, it's your SUV. We're driving on the, you know, right. and then we do have the newer re-released Bronco, I guess, or whatever like that, which is a little tougher, a little bit more rugged and whatnot. Right. But yeah, there's, you know, cars are, it's kind of an interesting, you know.
Yeah, but unlike a Ford or a Mercedes, you know, back to the Hummer for a second, like they only had one vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they took that one vehicle.
Yeah.
And then it's not like they splintered off into several different divisions and classes.
Agreed.
And budget level. You know, they just went with one and.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
No, I think, yeah. Well, yeah, they probably got more sales, but I think from a brand positioning and authenticity perspective, it's now just a name. It's not the brand that it originally represents.
Yeah, and so. I have no idea how they're doing now, but I sure as heck don't see very many of them.
Well, I don't see very many anymore because of gas guzzling, but they do. GM has taken over the brand many years ago, and they have an electric Hummer, which I think is crazy expensive.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, so, and they've only got, just like everything with the chip shortage and the whatever, there's only so many out there, and they keep flipping them on Bring a Trailer and things like that, so. Any other interesting brands for authenticity? I got one more. All of mine are food brands.
Go ahead.
I'm hungry. Ben and Jerry's, right? I mean, that's been around forever. I mean, I shouldn't say forever, but it's been around a long time. Obviously, they sold to Unilever, right? I mean, they're no longer running their own ship. But when they sold, they had all the caveats of, hey, we're still going to be activists. We're still going to talk about Mother Earth. We're still going to do, we're, they're going to have that position on where they were, you know, in the, you know, 10, 15 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting, and that even being absorbed by a giant packaged goods company, I still feel like they haven't been taken over, and they still are
quirky and delicious.
Yeah, authentic to that initial first sort of vibe, right? The Cherry Garcia vibe that we all kind of grew up with.
Yeah,
right?
We got funky flavors.
Yeah,
we got Ben and Jerry, and we've got we are environmentally like we are very you know
Mother Earth. Yeah,
yeah.
But even when they brought in celebs, you know, like Americone Dream,
Is delicious. Oh God, so good.
Yeah, we did have a little tasting in the office. Remember that years ago we had an Americone Dream versus is it the Tonight Dough?
There's the Tonight. I think it's Tonight Dough.
Yeah, and I don't. Was there a third? I don't remember. I'm an Americone Dream guy.
I'm an Americone. I love that waffle cone.
Yeah, it's so good. The I feel like the Tonight Dough was too chocolate. It was chocolate on chocolate on chocolate. It was like a chocolate ice cream with a chocolate fudge and a brownie in there. And it was too much. So,
what's your favorite? Is that your top?
No, it's a knockdown drag out fight between Fish Food and Half Baked.
Yeah,
those are the two now. You know, if you have to pull my leg and give me one of those core ones, I'll go the Caramel Sutra.
Caramel Sutra?
Oh, God.
Oh, dude, you get a chunk of that caramel.
Oh, my God. My so good. So good.
All right, you get one flavor for the rest of time. What is it? Is it are you going one, fish food?
Are we talking? So I have to pick one Ben & Jerry's.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to go fish food. I think I'll go half-baked.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'll go high. If I had to go one, I'm trapped on a desert island for the rest of my life, and every month they drop off the package of they fly overhead and drop off the package of okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going half baked.
All right. So they had a flavor, they discontinued it, but years ago they had a flavor called From Russia with Buzz.
Yeah.
Oh. It was like
what was in it, do you remember?
It was like coffee and it had like espresso chocolate chips.
Ooh.
And oh, so good.
That sounds
delicious.
They
discontinued it though.
Of course they did.
Well, Americone Dream's a good one. Even they're like in the house, we've got somebody in the house who loves like their strawberry cheesecake.
Mm.
And I'm not a strawberry ice cream fan at all.
Yeah, like, that's an oddball.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Delicious.
All right. So what's your ultimate bet? What's your desert island then?
I mean, I think if I'm desert island, I'd probably go fish food. It just stands the test of time.
It's so good.
It stands the test of time.
Yeah.
It's just got everything you need in it.
Yeah. Well, Ben & Jerry's, very authentic and very delicious. Run out and get yourself some Ben & Jerry's.
Yeah.
You know? Any other thoughts on authentic brands or things
that speaking of that, that idea that a company that had a lot of personality was kind of swallowed up by another company and what happened. I just read a book about Zappos and Tony Hsieh, who was the sort of controversial figure who founded Zappos and built it and then ultimately tragically died in a fire
a
few years back. But that's an interesting case study in, you know, Zappos was acquired by Amazon.
Okay, I was thinking that's who they were bought by. Okay.
They were acquired by Amazon because Tony Hsieh and...
And for those that don't know, Zappos is an online shoe retailer,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, it became the world's largest online shoe retailer.
Yeah.
They were swallowed up by Amazon because Bezos and Hsieh got to become really good... I don't know if they were good pals, but they were acquaintances. And Bezos really admired Tony Hsieh because he was all about this culture of happiness and building this culture of happiness.
Love that.
And it's really interesting. It's an interesting read. But they couldn't, when they first were brought on, they were allowed to be completely autonomous.
Yeah.
And they kept their sort of quirky and, and they were the ones who came in, for example, I'm going down a
tangent, let's do it.
But they were, the Zappos were the first ones that came in and said free returns because the challenge was, well, wait a minute.
These shoes don't fit quite right.
Everyone has to try on shoes. No one's going to buy them online because you have to try them on. So they were the very first ones to say, no, we'll do free returns.
Yeah.
For like 60 days or 90 days or whatever it was.
Love that.
And it totally worked. And that was Bezos, you know, then, oh, okay. And that got him thinking about Prime.
Yeah.
This was prior to Prime.
Okay.
So then he took that, spun it out, and I was like, Prime, I can do that, and returns, and all the things. So he was sort of inspired by Zappos to do that. But then ultimately, I think Amazon got a little bit heavy-handed and started meddling in their business a little bit.
Sure.
And it kind of, although Zappos is still around and doing well, as far as I know, but they're not
the brand that they were
before.
They're
not the brand that they were before.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of factors to that.
Yeah. And that's not uncommon at all with mergers.
All the time.
You know, I mean, I'll be very curious to see what happens with HBO. Right, because HBO now has been bought and sold so many times and is now folded under Discovery, right? Discovery, TLC, that whole thing, right? And there's been a lot of chatter about HBO Max, you know, or it was HBO, then it was HBO Go, then it became HBO Max, right? And now we're dropping HBO.
But isn't HBO Go, wasn't that just the app?
HBO Go was the first time you could purchase HBO independent of your cable provider. Right, it's always been an add-on to your cable package, but as we started getting cord cutting and whatnot, right, you could buy the app on its own as HBO Go, right? You didn't need to have Comcast or whomever else, right?
Okay.
That was the first time. Then as streaming, and then as all the networks got into streaming, right, you've got the DirecTV on the go, and which later became AT&T TV, and now we've got Hulu and all these things like that, right? HBO Go kind of turned into HBO Max,
right,
which was... obviously all the HBO properties, but then a lot of the other Time Warner properties, right? You got all the DC things and the cartoons and adults.
And now it's completely going to go away?
And now they are dumping, as part of the new thing at the end of this month, they are dumping HBO from the name and it is just going to be called Max. And the Discovery Plus app, I believe, is going away and being folded in. So now you'll have one app, which is just called Max, which has TLC... You know, Discovery, not Nat Geo because that's on Disney, but it's got all of the Discovery properties, and then it's got all of the Time Warner, HBO, you know. But I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about, like, the power of the HBO brand is tremendous. And so to minimize that on the same even Steven level as a TLC, for example, and I'm not knocking TLC, but... they are totally different brands and totally different target audiences.
Well, just programming. I mean, their programming couldn't be more opposite.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that, you know?
I would, if I were in that meeting, I would say that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
It would be my gut feeling. So it'll be interesting, or prediction. We'll see how that, we'll see what happens.
The internet does not disagree with you, but evidently this, the guy that is in charge came from the Discovery side, and is getting killed by this writer's strike because his compensation is, I think he
just started last night?
Yeah.
Midnight.
Yeah. So it's there's been a lot of very questionable decisions surrounding HBO and the HBO properties, but we'll see what happens with that as it relates to brand authenticity and does it still hold true? You know what I mean?
I've still never fully accepted Xfinity.
You're still Comcast.
Yeah. Now I'm an old, I'm a middle-aged
I'm
guy
okay
who grew up on Comcast. Yeah.
What freaks me out is seeing Xfinity trucks driving around and they're multicolored. Right, because Comcast was black and red. And we worked, I mean, full transparency, we worked on Comcast
for years.
Number of years, right? So it's weird when I see an Xfinity truck and it's blue, like AT&T, or it's green.
Yeah.
You know, or it's like I'm like, what is happening here? You know, like, No. Yeah. Comcast is red. AT&T is blue. You know what I mean?
Everybody's always be Comcast to me.
Yeah. Sprint is yellow. T-Mobile's pink. You know, everybody's got their brand colors, right? So
world's a crazy place.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
we'll wrap it up for today.
The takeaway is, yes, you always should be authentic.
Yeah.
Try not to misstep. Be careful in your decisions.
Yeah.
Be mindful, be thoughtful, be strategic in what you do.
Absolutely.
And how you do it. All right. That'll wrap us up for today. You can find us always, of course, on the interwebs at mocktheagency.com or on all the socials at mocktheagency, and drop us a note.
Yep.
Give us some ideas.
All right. We'll chat with you next time.
Talk next time.